Dear friends, let us turn in the Word of God to Genesis chapter 24, and my text is found in verse 58, where we read these words, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." "Wilt thou go with this man?" "I will go," she said. Here, dear friends, is a sinner trusting and following and wanting to go with the promise of God. We could say with Jesus Christ. Dear friends, I ask you this. Do you read your Bibles? Do you read your Bibles systematically, thoughtfully, prayerfully? At times it is that when we read the Bible, you wonder to yourself, well, what is this about? Why did God say this in His Word? I don't really understand. What's the purpose of it for me? Well, one of the key things that you always need to prayerfully consider, what does it say about Jesus Christ? Because it's about Him. All of the Bible is about Him. And so you have in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, you have various types and shadows. It's like given like a picture book of the for children that shows you pictures, illustrations of who Jesus Christ is. What's the way of salvation? So I hope you find something of that. And that's why oftentimes when we come and look at the characters and lives of different individuals in the Old Testament, I seek to point to you and say, this is something about Jesus Christ. It is showing, it's illustrating something that Jesus Christ has done. So I want to focus your attention this morning on this question and the answer that was given. This man, this servant of Abraham, came to find a wife for Isaac. And he prayed, he was trusting in the Lord. And he comes and we haven't read all the details, but the Lord brings Rebecca in the way of this man as an answer to prayer. And it's an amazing account. You read it for yourself later on. And he goes and he speaks to the family and says, this is what's happened. This is what we prayed for. And this is what the Lord has done. And then this question is asked. She's not being forced into this. But she's asked this question, wilt thou go with this man? Will you go with this man? Will you go for you to be a wife to Isaac, his master's son? Will you go to be married to Isaac? Will you go with this man? And she says, I will go. I will go. That's a wonderful illustration of the message of salvation and the sinner's response to trusting in Jesus Christ and going with Jesus. I will go with him. It's a remarkable account. You see, 65 years before the event of this chapter, God, the Lord, appeared to Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees, that area where he dwelt. And God appeared to Abraham. God called Abraham. God brought him to know him and saved him, forgave him of his sins, and showed him that there is one who was going to be born from his line who would be the Savior and the Messiah. So all of these things were prophesied to Abraham, and he knew these things. That's what's going to happen. And the Lord made him to be a servant of himself. So, and Abraham, he was at the time, he was childless. But the Lord, again, amazingly, miraculously, gave him this miracle child, promised child, Isaac. And yet, if you know the account, you know that God also challenged his faith and tested the faith of Abraham and said, you must sacrifice Isaac. Will you take your son and sacrifice him? And so that was also to take place. And Abraham, he passed the test. The Lord provided a ram instead of Isaac. All of those things are pictures of what Jesus Christ would do. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That God provided himself a lamb. And Isaac, who was the firstborn child, and he was the only child that Abraham and Sarah had. It was a promised child. And God was progressively revealing himself, showing his plan, showing his will to Abraham and his descendants, that through him a Savior would be born. So the Bible is about this. From the beginning to the end, it's about this. A Savior is promised, a Savior is to be born, a Savior comes, Jesus Christ comes, and he has to shed his blood on the cross for sinners. So the Old Testament believers, they were all looking forward to him, that this is what's going to happen. And now as New Testament or Gentiles and people who are now after Jesus Christ has come, we are looking back and see what he has done for us, and we trust him. But Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8 and verse 56, he said that Abraham believed in him. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, it says. So Abraham had such a strong faith that without seeing Jesus, he trusted in the Savior. What an amazing thing. And that justified him. That made him right in the sight of God. God forgave him, made him righteous in his sight, that he trusted in the promised Messiah. So the message of the gospel is to you that Jesus Christ also has come, and the promise is to you that if you were to trust in him with all your heart and forsake your sin, turn away from your sin, the Lord will also forgive you of your sins, will give you a new heart. You will be saved. So here is this account. Abraham wants a godly wife for his son Isaac. And so this servant is sent, this believing servant is sent to find a wife. And he's praying, he's praying, waiting on God. And here, what you find is God is working all of these things out. And what you find is that he has been working in Rebecca too. Why should Rebecca trust? Where did she begin to trust? Where did that come from? The person that he never had seen before. The person who was far away. He didn't know his background. He didn't know all the things that concerned him. But God had been working in her heart. And so why is it that a sinner believes? Why is it that I believe? Why is it that other people believe? God has been working in our hearts, beginning to show us what kind of people we are, but more than that, beginning to show us who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for our souls. So here is this call that was made on this woman in whose heart the Lord had been working. Wilt thou go with this man? So every time you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's basically what the preacher is saying. Will you go with this man, Jesus Christ? Will you go with the Savior? Will you go with him? I'm saying to you, who is he? What has he done? And all of those things. And I want you to see something of this in this picture language of the book of Genesis, and see the wonderful truth. I have three very brief points here this morning for you to think about. The first is this. Willingness to believe the message of the gospel. That's the first thing. There ought to be a willingness to believe the message of the gospel. There ought to be a willingness to trust the unseen Savior. And then thirdly, willingness to forsake all for him. Willingness to forsake all for him. So the first thing is this. There ought to be a willingness in our hearts to believe the message of the gospel. If you were to turn to verse 5 of this chapter, Genesis 24, verse 5, the servant focused on the issue of the willingness of this prospective bride. Will she come? And so his words is telling us that he could anticipate certain potential obstacles. Those obstacles, those hindrances required a willingness on Rebecca's part. Willingness, even determination to overcome them, set them aside and not allow them to hinder her in doing the will of God. And my friend, there may be certain things in your mind and you have all these questions and these stumbling blocks and says, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? And yet in your heart of heart, you know what you're hearing is the truth, but you have some issues. Let those issues fall or to be at the side. You be concerned about your soul and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and following Him. So he says, and the servant said unto him, peradventure, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Should I bring your son back, take him back with me to the land where you came from? And Abraham says, no, don't take him back. That was my past. That's a worldly place. Don't take him back. But he's seeing these problems. And it is the will of God, dear friends, as I've said, it is the will of God that you should seek Christ. That's the will of the Lord. But in seeking the Lord, in being interested and concerned about the matters of salvation, there are many, many spiritual struggles that you may have. Very often those struggles concern potential obstacles designed to keep you from Christ. And your mind and heart produces things. Even the devil produces things and points you to think, well, what about this? What about that? The devil doesn't want you to seek Christ. The devil wants you to be miserable in your sin and die and go into a Christless eternity. But to the saving of your soul, it must be overcome that you might get to Christ. And so in the very first place, you must be willing to believe the message brought to you about the Savior. Abraham's servant brought to Rebekah this glorious message about this beloved son, Isaac. And on the basis of that message, she was willing to step out in faith and go to Isaac. Against what she was told, that there was this great trouble of unbelief, obstacle of unbelief, the unbelief of the sinner, you see, in our minds and hearts. But on her part, she had to act in faith concerning what she had been told. And this is all showing a picture. It's illustrating the truth that you hear week in and week out. It is telling you, what this account is telling you, revolves around this Isaac. And there is much to be seen of Christ and the gospel message. Isaac's life, Isaac's experience, were filled with the miraculous. They're filled with supernatural. It gives a clear views of the Savior of sinners. You think about this very quickly. Isaac was the promised son. God had given the promise of his son as well to this world, that my son will be born unto us, Isaiah wrote 750 years before Jesus Christ, unto us a son is given, that of the virgin a child will be born and his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. The account of his incarnation was promised. There's a son to be born. This is the Son of God. And so many promises and prophecies were given. There was a promised son. Isaac was promised. Jesus Christ was also promised in much more greater way. Isaac had a supernatural birth. Think about it. God visited Sarah and she delivered a son when no one else would think. She couldn't bear a child at that age. She's 98 or so. For her to conceive a child is a miraculous thing. And dear friends, God promised his son and he came through that Virgin Mary. Through the womb of Virgin Mary. He was a miraculous promised child. He became man, yet he ceased not to be God. And as the God-man, he was qualified to save and rescue members of this fallen humanity from sin and death. But also something else that you note from regarding Isaac. Isaac was handed over to a sacrificial death by his father on Mount Moriah. Isaac was offered up. You read for yourself Genesis chapter 22. Every detail is pointing to the cross of Jesus Christ. What happened on that cross? That actually Jesus Christ died upon the, not the knife of his father, but under the wrath of his father. He died. He didn't die of his wounds, but he gave up the spirit himself voluntarily. He died voluntarily under the wrath of his father when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we never would have to say those words, ever. That's why we read in the Word of God those words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why we read in the Bible, he that spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He was handed over to be sacrificed. Isaac also, he returns from the place of sacrifice, typified Christ's resurrection. He turned back. He went back. He who was to die, he came back alive, well, by faith, we read. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten Son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed or offspring be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So this was a type, it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the fact that Isaac came back, Jesus Christ came back to life. That's why Christians, why is it that we are gathering? Today is the Lord's Day. People call these days all sorts of names, celebrate all sorts of things. But the Christian comes together to celebrate the Lord's Day. Christ is risen indeed. We rejoice because he lives. We also live. And so all of this that concerned Isaac, Rebekah believed. Rebekah believed it. She set aside the natural unbelief of her heart and rested on what was revealed to her and went to trust. With all her trust to Isaac, wilt thou go with this man? Yes, I will go with him. I will go. You must do the same in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let unbelief hinder you. Don't be so slow. Hasten to the Lord Jesus. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I've heard enough. This is enough for me. I've heard enough. I will believe on him. There is nothing else to believe. What else will you believe? There was a lady I spoke to not too long ago. And I said, in all your atheism, what else is left? What's left? What's the purpose of your life? What is going to happen to you? And she looked at her friend and said, I don't know. So that's a deep question. I said, but it's a serious question. Who hath believed our report, Isaiah says. Who has actually believed it? Very few believe it. If people don't believe this message and trust in Jesus Christ, what will happen? That they will perish. That's a serious thing. That's why the preachers are to preach earnestly. We plead with sinners because it's a serious thing that we are talking about. We are not just doing this out of rote. We don't gather together and the preachers don't preach their heart out so that they would make you feel awful. No, it's because it's a serious issue, a matter of life and death that we are talking about. He that believeth, and then it says, and is baptized. That is, on the account of their belief in Jesus Christ, they're baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned, it says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. So it's a serious thing. So there's this willingness to believe the message of the gospel. But secondly, there's this willingness to trust the unseen Savior. Rebecca was being asked to go to one whom she had never seen. How much faith do you have to have? How much faith? She must give her love to one on whom she had never set her eyes upon. But she was willing to do so. Surrender to one invisible, we could say. The true gospel message, the gospel of God, has this same element of truth in this. This matter of fleeing to and trusting the unseen Jesus Christ is a great obstacle to people, to sinners. You need the grace of God to see these things. You need faith to trust in these things. And God has to give these things to you. And you can pray, Lord, open my eyes to see Jesus Christ. You see, sinful man's mind is so blind that he must see what he trusts. You say, seeing is believing. Not everything. It's a mirage that people are living in. They're eating dust and they think it's great. They're taking salt constantly and they think this is wonderful. But the gospel calls on sinners to trust the unseen Christ. The entire gospel proclaims an invisible Savior. He is at the right hand of God. He is in heaven, in an unseen domain, heaven itself. And those who will be saved on God's term, and it has to be God's term, must do so to trust in the unseen Savior. And those who do trust Him, they will be saved. In the scripture, dear friends, we meet such people. People like Moses, for example. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, the scripture says. In the New Testament, the Christians experienced this. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, "Ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God." And God is a spirit. He cannot be seen with our eyes. You read this, "Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, ye believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." So the Apostle Peter there, he says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, he says, you're rejoicing because the one that your eyes haven't seen, but you have seen him with your heart. And you rejoice. God has done such a thing in you. You're full of rejoicing and full of glory. But Rebecca was the same. Was given the token, was given the message that Isaac lives. That Isaac is the son of the promise, son of a servant of God. And we are told in verse 36, and he says something else, that Abraham has given everything to his son, Isaac. Unto him hath he given all that he hath. It's an amazing thing. All of these things are types and shadows of Jesus Christ. The Father has given everything to His Son, Jesus Christ. All power and authority has been given to Him. And then it says that in verse 53, it says that the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebecca. What was this but the visible tokens that Isaac would have her to be his bride. So these were the symbols, the realities. This is what God is saying. This is what my son has done for sinners. Look at all the blessings that I give. I've given you a whole book better than silver and gold with all these promises. I've given you ministers. I've given you the gospel being preached to you, the word of God being given to you. Will you go with this man? Will you go with him? It was the sight of the wagons that also stirred Jacob's soul, we read in Genesis 45. They were emblems, if you know that account of Joseph. They were emblems of Joseph's care and love for his father at the end of the book of Genesis. But all of these things are promises. Dear friends, Christ supplies sinners with the evidences of his love. His privilege due with seasons of gospel preaching that Jesus Christ is brought to you. You have a church here that preaches the Bible to you. That's a grace of God. Not many people get these things. You're taught about his grace, his mercy, his long-suffering. You've set before you the unsearchable riches of his finished work. We're not telling you to go and pay this amount of money and you go on pilgrimage here and you go and kiss this icon here and you do these things. No, no. Just buy this without money and without price. You cannot put a price on Jesus Christ. He's the pearl of great price, the scripture says. He's that hidden treasure. He's so precious. His blood is so precious that cleanses us from all sin. This is what's preached to you. You receive the garments of salvation. The clothing of his righteousness is given to you. Those who believe. And all of these things are known to you in his word. All of these things are designed to show you how his promises are true. He will fulfill them to all those who would trust in him. And finally, dear friends, as this question comes to you, wilt thou go with this man to this unseen Savior? I will go, she says, willing to forsake all for him. I will go, she says. And she's indicating that to have Isaac, she was willing to leave family. She's willing to leave friends. She's willing to leave friends and home and everything, everything. And some of you have had to leave things. You've had to leave family and friends and homes and things to one side. And it can be a lonely path. But praise God, if we have left all to follow Jesus Christ, he fulfills, he fills up all of those things. She was prepared to sever her links with the old life. The same change happens in the gospel. Jesus Christ will have no part with sin. He has no part with our past life. He calls on those who will be his to forsake the world, forsake that ungodly life, to follow him. And he says, you need to count the cost. Are you willing to go with this man? Are you willing to forsake the old life and have the new life in Jesus Christ? Are you willing? This world is, dear friends, is a city of destruction. It's a day that is coming that not just fire will come from heaven, but this world will be dissolved, the scripture says, with fervent heat. And those who must be saved, who will be saved, must be willing to have done with this world. Rebecca lived in Mesopotamia in the era of the Chaldees. It's that site of the old Babylon, essentially. And the Bible gives us a picture that Babylon is the picture of this world that passes away. It will fall. The book of Revelation speaks about Babylon has fallen, it's fallen. My friends, don't hold on to things that will fall, that will perish. This world is so fragile. A person can become ill with just a small thing. Things that you don't see. And we can pass away so quickly. You hear it all the time. People who die so quickly, so suddenly. This ungodly world, this corrupt world will pass away. But the things of Jesus Christ and the gospel will not pass away. He's an eternal God. His gospel is everlasting gospel. We read. And so it's out of this world God is calling. Out of this world is calling sinners like you and me. Because it is enmity to him. And so he will judge all. Whatever offense, that is sin, it will be destroyed. So dear friends, compare yourself with this woman, Rebecca, a godly woman. Or that all women in this church would be like her. Or that all mothers here would be like her. I will go. with this man. I will go. I've heard enough. That's enough for me. I'm not going to ask for more things to be given because I've seen enough. I've heard enough. I've seen the blessings from your hand. I've heard enough about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done and who he is and where he is. I know where he is. He's not lost. I'm lost. He is not lost. I will go with this man. Compare yourself then with all that there is in the Lord Jesus for your soul. The world is empty and vain. It has nothing worthwhile. You've tasted it. And you've shed tears. And you've asked yourself, why? Why do people do this? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? It just shows to you the emptiness of it, the awfulness of it. Nothing worthwhile, nothing lasting to offer you. All will be soon swept away. So you ought to escape for your life. You leave the air of the Chaldees of this world. You leave Babylon. You go to Jesus. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So, dear friends, she had to go. She had to go immediately. Go to Isaac. Go to Jesus immediately. Rebekah arose, it says in verse 61, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Abraham and went his way, and Isaac came. It's a wonderful. So she goes, and Isaac comes. You go to Christ, and he comes to you. It's a wonderful picture, dear friends, what the Lord does for us poor sinners. So wilt thou go with this man? Do you see something of the Lord Jesus Christ here? I hope you do. And may the Lord give you that willingness in your heart to go to him who is more precious than Isaac, who is the eternal Son of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank thee and bless thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee that before we ever knew him, he came into this world to pay the price of our sins. And he has fully paid and fulfilled all so that we can go to him without having to do anything. Lord, we pray for thy blessing then upon this congregation. We ask that all the ladies here, all the men here would follow Christ. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.